Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
You'd think a quiet suburb west of Detroit would feel safe. Neat houses, street lamps humming over snow-dusted lawns, the kind of place where the biggest thrill is hearing the train a few blocks away at midnight. But not every house in a quiet neighborhood is at rest. Some hold on to the people who've passed through them, and sometimes those people don't let go. Jessica didn't come to Michigan looking for ghosts. She and her husband had simply needed a place to rent while they started over, and the little house in Westland looked ordinary enough. Two bedrooms, baseboard heat, a kitchen that smelled faintly of old linoleum. What she didn't know then was that only 4 miles down the road loomed the decaying remains of Eloise, once one of the largest mental asylums in the country. A sprawl of brick wards and underground tunnels that had housed tens of thousands of patients. Most of its 78 original buildings were gone, but the land still had a reputation. Locals whispered that the soil itself remembered. Jessica didn't believe proximity to an asylum's ruins could follow her home, at least not at first. But from the first week in that house, she sensed something was wrong. It started as small impressions, a draft that shouldn't exist, the faint scent of something acrid and sweet lingering at odd hours, the feeling that the hallway watched her back. Her husband never noticed. He shrugged at her unease, teased her for being jumpy. She couldn't explain why she sometimes lingered in the kitchen at night because she didn't want to pass the bedroom door. Then life itself began to fray around the edges. They'd moved in October of 2008. By late November, tragedy rolled in like an early winter storm. Her mother's boyfriend died suddenly the day after Thanksgiving. Soon after, Jessica discovered she was pregnant, twins, and then lost both. More bad news followed. Her mother's boyfriend's mother was diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer. It felt as if grief had set up camp right alongside them in the new house. Jessica didn't want to draw a connection between the tragedies and the building they lived in, but the timing gnawed at her. She found herself staying up until 3, sometimes 5 in the morning, long after her husband had fallen asleep. Even then, she'd lie awake for an hour before daring to close her eyes. When she was home alone, she kept the bedroom door firmly shut. The sight of the darkened doorway from the kitchen made her stomach tighten. Still, every time she passed it, she found herself glancing at the knob as though expecting it to turn on its own. One winter afternoon, she was on the phone with her mother, chatting idly as she crossed from the living room to the bathroom to fetch her cigarettes. The hallway was warm. The whole house usually was, thanks to the old baseboard heaters that kept their small rooms almost tropical against the Michigan cold. As she passed the bedroom door, she felt it. A breath of air, startlingly cold, sliding across her ankles from the crack beneath the door. She stopped mid-sentence. That room was always the warmest in the house, heat built up behind the closed door like an oven. It should never have been cold. Jessica put the phone down on the kitchen bar and against every instinct turned the knob. The door opened onto a wave of icy air that hit her face so sharply she shivered. The blast felt out of season, an uninvited winter wind in the one room that should have been stifling. The rest of the house still hummed at 80 degrees, only the bedroom was frigid, as though something had been keeping the heat at bay all day. She snatched her cigarettes from the bathroom and hurried back to the couch, relaying the experience to her mother with a tremor in her voice. Her mother, to Jessica's surprise, didn't dismiss it. She began sharing strange incidents of her own. A brand new plasma TV in Florida switching itself on and off, a radio clicking from static to silence without being touched, a hairdryer sputtering awake when no one was near it. Jessica, trying to be rational, suggested wiring problems. But her mother reminded her that the house had been inspected recently and the faulty wiring in her bedroom repaired months ago. Besides, the appliances were new. There was no obvious reason for them to behave that way. Jessica couldn't shake the thought of Philip, her mother's late boyfriend. He'd been a good-humored man, a prankster by nature, never cruel. Could it be Philip, still lingering near the people he loved, flexing his presence in mischief rather than malice? She wanted to believe that if a ghost was meddling with electronics and temperature, at least it was a familiar one. But some nights the atmosphere in the Michigan house felt anything but friendly. There were odors she couldn't trace, sharp, almost chemical at times, that would vanish as soon as she tried to hunt them down. There were the knocks at the door, solid three-beat thuds that echoed through the living room. But when she checked the porch, it was empty and still. And there were the sounds from the closet, always on her side of the his and hers wardrobe, never her husband's. Dull thumps as though something inside shifted after midnight. Ryan, her husband, never heard them. He was either at work or asleep during the disturbances. To him, the stories sounded like nerves. Jessica knew what she heard. Then there was the big boy. Early in their marriage, Ryan had bought one of those souvenir big boy piggy bank figurines at the diner, the smiling checkered overall mascot frozen midwave. When they bought a tall 5-foot armoire at an auction, they set the figurine on top for whimsy. Jessica began to notice that the toy never stayed where they put it. She would center it neatly at the middle edge. By the next day, it had shifted to the far right side. She moved it back, only to find it slid again. There were no children tall enough to reach it, and the heavy figurine couldn't have shifted on its own. It was a small thing, but in a house where doors knocked on empty air and a bedroom grew cold without reason, even the piggy bank felt like a message. Jessica tried to laugh it off when she could, but nighttime was harder. She dreaded the hours between 3 and 5 a.m., when the house seemed to hold its breath and every creak of the wood floors sounded like approaching footsteps. If she needed a glass of water, she'd keep her eyes straight ahead, refusing to glance at the bedroom door for fear of what she might see in the crack beneath it. What unnerved her most was how the strangeness always seemed to surface when Ryan wasn't watching, as if the presence preferred an audience of one. It left her questioning herself in the daylight, but shrinking from the shadows after dark. By December, the first Michigan snow had blanketed the yard, muffling the outside world so completely that the smallest sounds inside the house felt magnified. The tick of the baseboard heater, the drip in the kitchen sink, the muted crack of wood adjusting to the cold. Jessica noticed that the quieter the house became, the more aware she grew of something else sharing that silence. She told herself it was just grief and stress. The funeral trip to Florida, the pregnancy she'd lost, the ache of watching her mother brace for yet another death in the family. Still, there were nights when she sat at the kitchen table, staring at the thin strip of shadow beneath the bedroom door, feeling sure that if she stared long enough, she'd see it move. Even the smell of the house seemed to change after dark, sometimes the damp odor of soil after rain, other times a sharp rankness like something sour left too long in a closed cabinet. Ryan never noticed any of it. She began to envy his easy sleep. The house itself didn't seem old enough to explain the noises. It was a modest post-war rental with no fireplace and no drafty attic above the bedroom, yet Jessica sometimes heard a slow knocking from inside the closet on her side. A hollow, deliberate thunk-thunk, as though something brushed the back panel. When she opened the door, the sound always stopped. The coats hung still as if they'd never been disturbed. One late night, while Ryan worked a double shift, she sat up scrolling on her phone to keep herself awake until nearly dawn. The television was on for company, but the volume low. At 3:30, just as she started to doze off, a noise at the front door jolted her upright. It was the sound of knuckles striking wood. 3 hard, even knocks. She held her breath, listening for footsteps on the porch for the follow-up ring of the doorbell. Nothing. Through the sidelight window, the porch stood empty under the snow. The knocks came again 2 nights later. Same rhythm, same empty porch. Jessica stopped checking after that, too unnerved by the idea that whatever was announcing itself wasn't standing on the other side of the door at all. She tried to share her unease with her mother during their long phone calls. Her mother's stories of electronics misbehaving in Florida grew stranger. The brand new plasma TV powering on in the dead of night. The radio in the kitchen suddenly changing stations. the hairdryer humming by itself as if a phantom hand had pressed the button. Jessica suggested again it could be faulty wiring until her mother reminded her the wiring had been replaced just months earlier. It was all too coincidental. Two women, two houses 1,000 miles apart, both feeling stalked by invisible currents. Jessica wondered if Philip's restless spirit could really be following them from state to state. He'd been a prankster in life, fond of harmless scares. She could almost hear his laugh when she pictured the big boy figurine inching across the top of the armoire. The thought was oddly comforting on the nights when the rest of the house felt hostile. But there was nothing playful about the cold room. Each time she passed the bedroom door and felt that unnatural chill bleeding out across the hallway floor, her stomach clenched. No matter how high they set the thermostat in the rest of the house, the bedroom sometimes felt like a sealed icebox. As it wasn't a draft, the baseboard heat was working. It was as if something in the room itself refused the warmth. Sleep came harder as the winter deepened. She'd lie down beside Ryan, listening to the slow hum of his breathing, eyes fixed on the dark ceiling until the faintest creak from the closet made her shoulders tense. Some nights she imagined she could sense the weight of someone standing at the foot of the bed, not moving, simply waiting for her to notice. The big boy mascot became her unofficial barometer of the house's mood. Every few days she found it nudged to the dresser's far right corner, no matter how often she centered it. She tested it by wedging a slip of paper beneath one side to see if vibration made it slide. It didn't. The figurine never toppled, never fell, just migrated inches at a time as if it preferred that one particular edge. The longer the disturbances continued, the more Jessica found herself delaying bedtime until the small hours of the morning. It felt safer to be awake when the rest of the neighborhood slept. She would sometimes catch herself nodding off at the kitchen table with the laptop open, reluctant to cross the hallway to the bedroom, until the first hint of dawn softened the windows. One night near mid-January, she woke Ryan after another bout of knocks and told him in a shaky whisper she was starting to believe the house itself was trying to push her out. He held her for a moment, still half asleep, and promised it was just the house settling in the cold. She didn't argue, but inside she knew the sound had come not from the walls, but from the door. Measured, deliberate, like a summons. By late January, Jessica had stopped trying to explain things away. The list of oddities had grown too long to ignore. The unexplained knocks, the smells that came and went like a passing breeze, the freezer-cold bedroom that defied the heater's hum. Even Ryan, usually unshakable, had begun to admit that sometimes the kitchen felt as though someone else were standing there, just beyond the reach of his vision. The turning point came one Sunday evening. Jessica was rinsing vegetables at the sink while Ryan stacked dishes to dry beside her. The conversation was ordinary, almost comforting, until a sharp rattle of the bedroom door cut through the clink of silverware. Both of them froze. The handle hadn't turned, the door hadn't swung open, but the wood itself had shuddered in the frame, as if struck from the other side. Ryan tried to laugh it off, claiming the draft from the back hallway must have pushed it, but the windows were all sealed tight against the Michigan winter, and there had been no breeze. Jessica said nothing. The look they shared across the kitchen was enough. For the first time, he had felt the same unease that had been shadowing her for months. After that night, he stopped teasing her about her late-night habits. He even admitted that sometimes when they argued, the air in the bedroom seemed to thicken, as if the room itself were leaning in to listen. Jessica had long noticed the pattern. Whenever tempers flared, the house responded. A louder creak in the closet, the big boy figurine found in a new position by morning, the sudden sense of being observed from the hallway. It was as though the walls had grown sensitive to human tension and fed on it. She started keeping a notebook on the coffee table, jotting down each incident, the date, the hour, the temperature of the room, even the quality of the smell she sometimes caught, sweet and chemical one night, earthy and damp the next. Patterns emerged. The knocks tended to come after 2 in the morning. The chill in the bedroom deepened during stretches when the couple went to bed without speaking. None of it brought her closer to an explanation, but writing it down gave her the illusion of control. February snowstorms locked them indoors for days at a time. The isolation made the house feel smaller, its shadows closer. Jessica found herself avoiding the bedroom until exhaustion forced her to lie down, often curling on the couch under a blanket instead. The space beneath the bedroom door seemed to leak cold, even when the thermostat glowed at 78. One sleepless night, she sat alone with a mug of tea gone cold, staring at the armoire where the big boy mascot perched in its familiar off-center place. She wondered aloud, half a whisper, if Philip was still playing tricks from the other side. The question hung in the air, unanswered, but for a moment she thought she smelled his cologne, a fleeting trace of spice and tobacco that drifted past her face before disappearing into the stillness. The idea that Philip's spirit might be watching over them was almost comforting compared to the alternative, that the house itself harbored something older, something drawn not to family ties, but to the shadows cast by grief. Westland's proximity to the remains of Eloise Asylum had never seemed relevant until she started imagining what stories still clung to those abandoned wards 4 miles away. What restless pieces of the past might roam farther than the crumbling walls that once contained them? In March, the disturbances began to taper off, or perhaps Jessica had simply grown used to them. The bedroom stayed cold on certain nights, but no longer felt as hostile. The knocks on the door came only once every few weeks. The big boy figurine kept its strange migration across the armoire as if by habit, but she stopped moving it back. Sometimes surrender is easier than constant battle. When spring finally softened the ground outside and the first shoots of grass pierced the snowmelt, Jessica stood at the kitchen window watching the street lamps click off one by one. For the first time in months, the house felt calm, but the calm was not the same. As peace, it was the kind of quiet that settles over a place after a storm. Debris cleared, sky bright, yet the earth still remembering the weight of water. She never did learn why the bedroom turned cold that winter or why the figurine preferred the right-hand edge of the armoire. She never caught sight of a figure in the hallway or the closet doors shifting on their own. But the memory of that first icy breath spilling from behind the closed door lingered with her, a reminder that sometimes the most ordinary houses can hold a chill that no thermostat can measure. And when she talks about it now, she does so in the same even tone you might use to recall a season of bad weather. A hard winter, a string of dark nights, an address she and Ryan have since left behind. Yet every now and then, in the quiet hours before sleep, she swears she can still hear those 3 deliberate knocks echoing from somewhere deep in the house, a reminder that some doors, once rapped upon, are never entirely shut.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day, only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.